Hi, this is Taro Gasawara, MobileViews.com and MobileContentToday.com. Today is June 9th, 2010, and this is podcast number 43. Today, my very special guest is, and I hope I get his name pronounced correctly, Shravan Goli. He is president of Dictionary.com. And recently, Dictionary.com released a really interesting press release about how people are different by platform and apparently by age, I guess, on how they use Dictionary.com on their smartphone. And I think he compared, or Dictionary.com's research staff compared Android, iPhone, BlackBerry, and a couple of other platforms. So I wanted to speak to Shravan to ask him more about his research and what Dictionary.com is, because I really don't know too much about the company. So Shravan, could you introduce yourself and Dictionary.com to people?
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate your time and appreciate all the time from your listeners. I'm really excited to be here today talking to you about Dictionary.com and what we do here. And also kind of, you know, a little bit about myself. So to start off, a very, very quick intro. I'm Shravan Goli, president of Dictionary.com. And Dictionary.com is actually part of IAC, which is Interactive Corporation, run by Barry Diller. He's the CEO and chairman of the company. You probably have heard his name several times. He's a big media mogul. And IAC includes a number of marquee web sites that include Match.com, Evite, CitySearch, a lot of other things. And it includes Ask.com. And we are basically a sister company to Ask.com. So Dictionary.com, Ask.com, and a couple of the properties are together under one umbrella called Ask Network Division. Wow. So that's part of IAC. And in terms of who I am and my background a little bit, I've been with Dictionary.com for about 6 months. Prior to Dictionary.com, I was running the social media business for Slide.com, which is a startup up in San Francisco. And then prior to Slide, I was at Yahoo for about 4 years. I was running Yahoo Finance products and Yahoo Entertainment products, and then Yahoo Video, general manager for Yahoo Video for a while. Prior to that, I was at Microsoft for about 11 years, a number of different products that I worked on there, including MSN.com and MSN for about 6 years, and then small business internet services, and then digital video and digital media, part of the digital media division, launched IPTV and other video products. So kind of, I would say, like a wide range of experience, but lots of consumer internet focus all along. And in terms of Dictionary.com itself, you know, in terms of what we do and, what we're really proud of, Dictionary.com is the most comprehensive, trusted, and up-to-date online and mobile dictionary with more than a million words and definitions and about 90,000 synonyms and antonyms available anytime, anywhere, in helping people become effective in their social, academic, and professional lives. And you might know, you know, Dictionary.com has the highest consumer awareness of any online or mobile word discovery sources, with over 50 million unique users per month across all of these platforms together. So we're also kind of the most often used primary dictionary site, as well as quoted a lot in resolving the word debates and Scrabble debates and, you know, writing great communication materials and things like that. So we're very excited about the mobile and wireless adoption, especially as Todd mentioned earlier, with Dictionary.com's applications. We're obviously, you know, really grateful to our users for embracing our app in such a big way.
Yeah. Hey, and a small world category, based on your timeline, I think I was contracted Microsoft on MSN. We're probably right about halfway through your tenure there, it looks like.
All right. But, we got the Microsoft alumni here. All right.
But in any case, so what, it's interesting that Dictionary.com also has client-side apps. So mm-hmm. which platforms do you support? I know it's an iPhone/ iPad and Android and a couple others, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So to kind of paint you the full picture on where we are with our mobile story, dictionary.com application is available on iPhone, iPad, Android, and BlackBerry smartphones and e-readers, I would say. And then we also have a mobile website, which is m.dictionary.com for all of the kind of the non-smartphone or people who use the mobile browsers to get access to the information. But really what our strategy has been to enable users access to the information in the moment. Okay, I mean, a lot of times when you are looking for a meaning or when you're looking to understand how to pronounce the word or how to use it in a sentence or how to describe it in alternate ways, you need that information right then and there, right? Not later that evening or another day. So what we have noticed really as a result with us being in existence for over 10 years and with a great brand recognition that we already have, we actually achieved significant milestones on the mobile front over the last couple months. So about a month ago, we announced that we hit 10 million downloads across all these platforms, iPhone being the number one. And today, so like a month later, we're already past 11 million downloads, iPhone being kind of the majority of that with 6.8 million. But I think one of the most exciting things we had over the last month and a half is iPad. We went to market with the iPad dictionary.com application on the day iPad was launched. And within the first week, dictionary.com was named as the best, free reference app, and we were featured on the iPad storefront, as well as we hit 100,000 downloads within the first 2 weeks when, iPad itself was around 500,000 devices sold. And today, we're at north of 300,000 downloads on just an iPad. When you compare that to 2 million devices sold, as Apple talked about last week, we're about 15% penetration on that. So very exciting. I mean, when you think about the relevancy, in a platform like iPad, which is, which is a lifestyle device, which is used for entertainment, which is also used for learning and education, in terms of reading and intellectual curiosity, solving that. It's very appropriate to have an application like Dictionary handy to discover the words and meanings and, other things.
Right. And the Dictionary app on the iPad, at least I know, it also has a thesaurus built into it.
Yes. So dictionary.com includes dictionary.com and thesaurus.com, reference.com, word of the day in English and word of the day in Spanish, and translations. That's kind of our full suite of products, and they're available online, and majority of it is also available on our mobile devices. So thesaurus, we're actually very proud of our thesaurus. It is the most comprehensive thesaurus in the entire world, as far as I can say, with a coverage of over 1.5 million words and derivatives and other associated words. So when you're using these apps, it's not just about the meaning, but you actually see some interesting quotations or sentences or how to use these words. And also instant pronunciation. I've used this personally myself to settle the pronunciation debates a number of times, even when I was playing poker, when I'm just like talking to friends. And most other scenarios, like, when I'm looking at a menu in a French restaurant or a Mexican restaurant, a lot of these places, you get to see these words and you have like no idea what, those dishes mean, right? And, for me especially, the application is very handy. I've gotten used to just, pick up your iPhone, open the app, and you type in the word, you actually see what the dish means. And you no longer have to be embarrassed to ask the waiter.
So it's not so the dictionary is delivered to the mobile app is not limited to just English, is that correct?
Right now it is only English, but just in terms of the word of the day, we have Spanish. But you know, a lot of these menus have English description, English words describing their traditional dishes, right? So ultimately, our plan is, of course, to offer other languages and other capabilities, and more of that will be coming soon.
Okay. And does does the dictionary.com app need to be connected to the internet over 3G or Wi-Fi to be used, or are the words stored locally on the device?
Great question. So it is actually kind of it's both. So depending on the platform, so iPhone and iPad, there is a offline compressed version of the dictionary available on the device itself. So you don't need to be connected either via 3G or Wi-Fi for those two devices. For BlackBerry and Android, it is cached on the smartphone to the extent that we can. But a lot of the interactions happen over the connections, right? Okay. Either 3G or the Wi-Fi. So both of these are driven using our API. So dictionary.com has released an API, albeit in a limited form to the outside developers. But one of our strategies and goals is to actually give access to all of our great content via API, so the developers can create more interesting applications like word games or entertainment stuff or learning applications and whatnot. So we're using the same API to power our applications. So in the case of iPhone and iPad, you get you get the majority of the functionality in this connection mode. But we have plans to extend that. You know, when you're connected, you can actually get more extended, content, I would say. And that's coming soon, too.
Okay, great. That's interesting to know. I didn't know there was that difference between the platforms. It's good to know. And now that the real reason I wanted to talk to you, or I should say the main reason, the thing that interested me the most, or not that this wasn't interesting, but that fascinating press release that you had about user behavior differences between platforms. So can you tell us a bit about what your demographics are based on? You have a couple hundred thousand downloads now, so that's... actually, a couple million, I should say.
Actually, 11 million downloads.
11 million downloads. So, what kind of demographic information do you have? Are you just guessing based on the kinds of words that are being searched on? And what did you find? Because I found your results fascinating.
Yeah. So, I think let me kind of give you a kind of a high-level picture, and then I think there are about like three or four different things that I can give you from an insights perspective. So the demographics in general for our mobile products and even for our website is pretty much kind of ranges from all the way from 8-year-old kids to 40-year-old adults, right? I think it's a little bit higher on the 8 to 24 range compared to the 24 to 44 range, I would say, as a percentage in terms of the users, and about evenly distributed between male and female. So we have students, we have moms, we have professionals, all these different types of audience using our products. And in terms of the behavior, what we're noticing on a couple different dimensions, right? Number one is on the engagement. What we're actually seeing on the mobile devices is almost 2x to 3x engagement. So that means in terms of time spent. And then also frequency of visits it's 2x to 3x compared to our online site. So the fact that it is available on the moment is obviously making it more easier to use and access the information. So that's leading to higher engagement. Number two, this notion of weekend fun meets the weekday work. So what we're noticing, so iPad, for example, the usage is higher on the weekends versus an iPhone. And I think it kind of attests to the value that iPad is providing currently, which is in the entertainment, and a little bit of the educational and the learning value, right? So also, the way people are consuming content on iPad is more using it as like a great browsing device, right? I.e., like, you know, essentially, show me something and not have to make me search a lot, right? So I'm like, you know, I'm just playing with this device. It's more like, you know, it's a little bit reflective of the immersive experience that you get on the television where you want to sit back and relax. And I think you were kind of starting to see in the iPad case that people want to kind of just pick up the device and just kind of, you know, get immersed in it, right? Either reading a book or watching a movie or kind of playing, you know, playing a game and whatnot. But it's in a little bit more relaxed setting. So it is essentially getting reflected in the feature set that is also being used between iPad and iPhone. So overall, iPad usage is about 25% more than iPhone. And each time from a visit, you know, when the users are using the iPad application, they're using it for longer duration as well. Okay. Secondly, the audio feature is getting used, you know, the pronunciation. So what it means is like if you are looking at a word, grok, like, right? So there's a icon, which is kind of a microphone, you know, the sound icon, and you can click on that. You'll get to hear how do you say that, right? So that's a pronunciation feature. We're noticing the audio feature is being used 2x compared to the iPhone. And I think it's sort of reflective of the settings that you use. iPhone, you're probably on the road or at work, you know, and you probably don't want to disturb other people saying grok, you know, in the middle of your cubes. But when you're at home, you know, it's much more easier to learn anyway. So, you know, you're like, oh, grok, I actually want to hear how it is said. So we're definitely and that's also a little bit more entertaining, like, you know, to hear different words, how you say the different words. Secondly, I mentioned word of the day, that is a feature of these products, which is essentially words that are picked by our content editor, and we push that content out to these devices on a daily basis, right? And so the word of the day changes every day, and what we're noticing is more people are looking at and browsing the words of the day on an iPad compared to an iPhone, right? Thirdly, statistics-wise, we talked about the weekend versus the weekday. What we're seeing is actually, and we were looking at the data weekend versus a Monday, right? You know, Mondays tend to be a busy days. You know, people go back to work, people go back to school, so they need, you know, to look up more content for sure. So you would imagine, like, you know, obviously Monday should be higher. But when we looked at iPhone versus iPad again, specifically, the iPhone, Mondays are about, you know, 15 to 20% higher compared to the weekends, usage-wise, which makes sense. On the iPad, the weekends are about 10 to 15% to 20, you know, 20%, depending on which week we've looked at, is higher compared to Mondays. So what we're actually noticing is a little bit of a shift in the behavior, but also it's like swapped out a little bit, right? And again, it kind of validates the hypothesis iPad is a consumption device primarily, whereas iPhone is a utilitarian device, right? And you use it more when you need to all the time, but it is primarily driven out of a particular need at any given point of time. I mean, granted, of course, you know, iPhone, the largest, the most used applications are games, but also it's more on the 2 minutes to kill mode, right? And I'm standing in the line, I got 2 minutes to kill, so, and I'll just play this game for 2 minutes. So, in any case, I think these were very eye-opening for us. And a little bit of the fun, we said, like, okay, let's look at actually the words that are getting looked at, right? Mm-hmm. You know, are we seeing any differences in that? So what we discovered was on the iPad, the entertainment words that are being, you know, more entertainment related, are definitely surfacing higher on iPad versus the iPhone. So, for example, like I talked about, the words of the day that we feature, grok and manimate, and some of the words that I can't even say, are getting higher. Are getting higher consumption. But also words like you know, Mary Poppins' favorite supercalifragilisticexpialidocious or anti-disestablishmentarianism, onomatopoeia. You know, these are the kinds of words that are appearing higher in terms of the kind of, you know, the top 100, 200 words that we looked at in the ranking versus iPhone, which are more of the, you know, the classic utilitarian type words you'll see on the higher side. So, I mean, all in all, in, you know, kind of to summarize, the behavior on iPad is definitely different compared to the iPhone. So then we said, hey, now how does BlackBerry and Android look, right, in relationship with all of this? Mm-hmm. So BlackBerry is very close to iPhone. And in fact, BlackBerry and Android, both of them are very close to the iPhone in terms of the weekday usage being higher than the weekend usage. And the BlackBerry words that are looked at are very similar to iPhone. Well, here's the catch. On Android, we're actually finding it to be a little bit closer to the iPad in terms of the top words that are consumed through Android. So, you know, we were thinking, well, you know, is iPad an Apple's response to Android? So, you know, just, you know, it could be a joke, I guess, but at the end of the day, it's subtle at this point, but it's starting to point, you know, Android users are also somewhat different compared to the iPhone users to a certain extent. And it is possible that the Android users are also more kind of, you know, technology or professional or, you know, types of users who are kind of some of the early adopters of technology, and now iPhone is like a very massively adopted device at this point, right? The iPhone, by extension, also includes the iPod Touch, for example, right? So, you know, you will actually see there's a lot more devices and a lot more variation in terms of the consumer behavior there.
Do you have any demographics in terms of age in the Android device? I mean, does it skew towards, say, an older demographic than the iPhone? And is it more similar to the iPad in terms of, you know, what I'm thinking is,
yeah,
the initial cost of the iPad is higher than,
that's right,
the iPhone. Although, you know, over after your monthly price is configured and you pay, you know, over $1,000 a year for your, well, 700 or eight, you know, something like,
yeah,
700.
But, and for a service that drops all the time.
Yeah, tell me about that. I don't have any AT&T service in my home. Seriously, I have no bars.
Oh my God.
Which is why I also have other service carriers in my home. But you know, just wondering, like, I tend to see iPhone, well, everybody has an iPhone kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, across age groups, kids, preteens, I've seen them with iPhones, to senior citizens. Whereas Android, I seem to be seeing it more amongst professionals.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mean like doctors, lawyers, but I mean people, yeah, just working every day, you know,
yeah,
in an office,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not so much teenagers and young college,
that's
right, kids.
I think you're absolutely right on that. We don't have specific age information itself, but our user behavior definitely, I think, points towards that direction. And I think, you know, in general, I mean, we pick up one of the Android sales reports or things like that, would probably be very reflective of our demographics.
Yeah, interesting. Do you have any surprising findings? Something that just said, "Wow, that is totally unexpected" when you looked at your data.
That's a good question. I mean, I think the whole the audio usage is kind of a little bit surprising for us. It's almost 2x compared to iPhone. I wasn't expecting that to happen, you know, by any means. Secondly, the closeness of Android to iPad versus iPhone or BlackBerry was very surprising for me, actually.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that too, actually.
Yeah.
Are you going to use this data to tweak your apps or your web service or both, or is this data going to go anywhere?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we totally believe in user feedback and taking into account the user behavior and providing the best possible content and experience. So what I think what you will see over the next few months is upgrades to these applications across all these platforms that are going to start leveraging some of the behavior that we're seeing. For example, in the iPad, clearly more people are browsing more content, so we can feed more things into an iPad application, right? Compared to kind of the iPhone app, we would like to make it more interesting in terms of other features that we could offer. Like, so for example, on iPhone, we also have a couple other applications, which is one is an agent, it's called AgentX Crossword Solver app. And if you actually use the, if you are a crossword type guy, you should have the Crossword Solver app because it will definitely help you find the right answers almost all the time. And you can read the comments on that. Secondly, we have another app which is called Misspells Class. That is more entertaining, but also it is more geared towards learning how to spell it right. And it's kind of got some game mechanics built into it, so you can actually score and look at your score and things like that, right? So there's, there's obviously that we're looking at, like, so as we enhance the dictionary.com application, we're looking at these other features that are other apps that are being used. What other features that we can add to dictionary.com application itself. Secondly, the operating systems themselves are evolving quite rapidly, and they're opening up more and more capabilities, right? So we would definitely leverage those to add more features to these applications.
Yeah, and especially on the iPad, as you said, the ability to just sit with an iPad and just have fun, is far greater than an iPhone. In fact, I've almost stopped looking at for a new iPhone apps, and my blog probably reflects it and is poorer for it. I should look at. But
that's
it's
true.
Just so much more fun to fuss about with my iPad if I'm going to download an app to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been playing with it for a little bit. And, I don't think I can let go of my iPad anymore.
I know, speaking of engaging your users, the word of the day obviously is popular because it's interesting and it's fresh every day. Have you thought about, or are you considering moving some of your games that are on dictionary.com, their word games, over to any of the apps?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's kind of why I was referring to the couple apps that are already available. We have plans to get some of those game features into our applications. The timing is a little uncertain at this point, but definitely, something that we're looking at. But I think one of the things that one of the ways I think that will happen much faster, much sooner, and probably at a much, much bigger scale than we can actually do it ourselves is through this API, that I talked about. We're opening up access to all the great content that we have aggregated to all the developers via this self-serve developer center that we're going to launch in the next, very soon here. That will give access to all kinds of word content, right? And you can easily imagine creating lots of interesting word games and learning applications based on that content.
Absolutely, that makes so much sense. Do you have a timetable for that API and the self-serve developer center?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't put an exact date, but it's going to happen within the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, that's pretty soon, actually.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So you have any closing comments before we sign off on this podcast, Siobhan?
Yeah, a couple of different things. I think, the things that we've learned as such, and that may be interesting for your listeners as well, is when you have, all these applications floating around, one of the big problems is application discovery, right? And whether you pick up iPad, whether you pick up iPhone or Android, all these places, how do you find the apps that you're really going to download, right? Mm-hmm. And for an app developer who's creating the apps, how do you get your app to be discovered by the users? In our own case, I think, you know, what we were fortunate about was the fact that dictionary.com was a very well recognized brand and has been in existence for over 10 years, right? And that drove a lot of the growth through kind of organic discovery by, you know, from the users themselves. But I think more importantly, over time, what has happened is users have given a lots of positive ratings and comments, 4 stars, 5 stars to our applications because of the content and the experience they were getting. And as a result, you know, we were continuing to be at the top of the list, you know, in the reference category, as well as get featured on the storefronts on a regular basis. So my advice or my tip to anybody who is, you know, trying to create these applications, you really have to figure out how you can provide the best possible experience and like, you know, and get users to kind of, you know, promote you. And that's kind of one of the big ways that apps get discovered. Secondly, on the monetization side, you know, obviously there's a lot of activity on the mobile front in terms of how people are monetizing the applications, and then there's a lot of conversations with iAds on the horizon. So we are definitely engaged with Apple kind of overall in terms of their roadmap and all that stuff. We want to kind of make sure like we are very closely following their roadmap. So we're actually going to launch another version of our iPhone app pretty soon here to coincide with the launch of, you know, their next operating system, iOS. And that enables the iAds as well as a bunch of other features. So look forward to the next version of the iPhone app coming soon in the next couple of weeks.
All right. I expect that sometime in the 24th or thereafter, I guess.
Yes. depends on how fast Apple approves the app.
Oh, that's true. I forgot. There is that little problem, isn't there?
There's that little problem.
And before we go, I guess I should also mention that Dictionary.com has another iPhone app out there called Agent X Word, I think, which is a
Agent X Agent X Word. Yeah, it's a crossword solver app.
Yeah. So, and that's, I think, $2.99 in the iTunes store. So
that's right. And so, then the Misspells class is a free app.
Oh, excellent. Okay. So, in any case, Siobhan, thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to talk with me about dictionary.com and your findings about mobile behavior. I really appreciate it. Learned a lot, I think. I hope other people learn a bit from what you found also. This is Tadagasawara with Siobhan Goli from the president of Dictionary.com. And we've been talking about Dictionary.com and their mobile apps. Siobhan, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and thank you all to your listeners.
Welcome.
Thank you.